Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, March 6, 2017. I'm Mary Sherman. We're covering a variety of topics in today's news, including the FBI wants the president's wiretapping accusations disputed, a revised travel ban expected to be released by the White House, and a look at the effectiveness of efforts to criminalize protests. And we begin with President Donald Trump's claims that former President Barack Obama ordered a wiretapping of Trump's phones during the presidential campaign, an accusation Obama is denying. On Sunday, the White House asked Congress to investigate whether the Obama administration abused its investigative powers, and there are reports the FBI has asked the Justice Department to dispute the allegations, which President Trump made on Twitter without offering any evidence. The request was said to be made because wiretapping would be illegal, as the president cannot just order the eavesdropping of a U.S. citizen's phones. President Trump is expected to reveal a revised version of his executive order banning travel of people from certain countries to the U.S. The new version, expected to be released today, would still ban travel from several Muslim-majority nations, but unlike the original, it will leave Iraq off the list. That's according to several people familiar with the planning. Amid the controversy over the ban are concerns about how the order could affect the medical community. In Ohio, researchers from the Case Western Reserve University Center for Health Disparities say about 1 in 14 doctors comes from a Muslim-majority nation. Research manager at the center, Jacqueline Delata, says it appears about 2% of those are practicing in rural and underserved areas.
It's not that they're taking away jobs that could be here for other Ohioans. They're filling a gap that isn't being met already.
One national analysis says physicians from outside the U.S. are more likely to practice in rural areas and specialty fields, like internal medicine and psychiatry. Experts say legislative attempts in several states to limit protests will not pass constitutional muster. We go to Tim Morrissey for the story.
In recent months, no less than 18 states have introduced, and in some cases actually voted on, legislation designed to curb mass protests, citing demonstrations at oil pipeline sites, airports, and other public places. Supporters of such legislation, some of which is inspired by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, say such legislation is designed to protect public safety. Others say these proposals would have a chilling effect on the right to protest. Don Kettle, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, says the First Amendment could not possibly be more clear on this.
Any effort in history in the American Republic to try to restrain that has always been rejected. It's just hard for me to imagine there's any possible constitutional basis on which restrictions could be put on the ability of people to gather, to talk among themselves, to demonstrate as they like, even in large numbers.
None of the proposed legislation has actually been passed into law, and some states have shelved legislative proposals of this sort. But Kettle says it's a moot point because such legislation would never pass constitutional muster.
Republicans are expected to introduce their much-awaited bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act this week. There are reports the draft plan rolls back much of the health care law, replacing it with tax credits and state grants. A senior White House aide said staff met Friday to resolve outstanding issues while health care committees in Congress worked over the weekend to incorporate technical guidance. Like many other areas of the country, New England is in the grips of an opiate drug epidemic, and a medical examiner who's been on the job for 2 decades says it's hard to separate accidental overdoses from cases of suicide. Mike Clifford explains.
Dr. Thomas Andrew says in the 20 years he's been New Hampshire's chief medical examiner, he's seen overdose deaths increase by 1,000%.
How many of those drug deaths are truly accidental and how many represent intentionally self-destructive acts? It's beyond my ability to sort of tease out.
Unless someone leaves a suicide note or other evidence is found, he explains the vast majority of opioid-related deaths are classified as accidental.
The World Health Organization says every year, environmental pollutants cost an estimated 1.7 million lives among children under age 5. According to new reports released today, the causes include unsafe water, lack of sanitation, poor hygiene practices, and indoor and outdoor pollution, as well as injuries. The new numbers equate to these pollutants being the cause of 1 in 4 deaths of children 1 month to 5 years old. As the national conversation about the use of force continues, many states are tracking the data. And in Colorado, police-related shootings are on the rise,
almost doubling between 2011 and 2015, and only one officer died during those encounters compared to 132 civilians killed. That's according to a new report mandated by a state law passed in 2015. It created uniform rules for documenting officer-involved shootings, and spokesperson Crystal McCoy says the Aurora Police Department supports the measure.
I think it enhances transparency for the public. It doesn't hinder us in any way, shape, or form. It hasn't created any complications. It's not difficult.
Some 279 agencies statewide meet the law's reporting requirements. Only 75 submitted reports, up from 48 agencies the previous year. I'm Eric Galatis. This story was produced with original reporting from Stephanie Cook of CU News Corps at the University of Colorado Boulder.
Facebook has launched a new tool to combat fake news. The social media site has a new function that will help mark fake news as disputed. The new tool will reportedly help identify websites and sources that are likely to put out misinformation and use fact checkers to identify fake news. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.